Hello and welcome to the Unofficial Controller Podcast, your weekly gaming podcast, episode 173, The Loss of a Dear Friend, with me, George, and this week joined by RGT, State Funeral to my 88-day candlelight vigil. How's it going, sir?
Very well. We return back from holiday, all refreshed, ready to go. How about you?
Last night, something pretty awful happened, I'll be honest.
Okay.
It wasn't gaming related. Well, it is gaming related, but it's not gaming related, but it needs to be here on the show. For some reason, the PS5 wasn't playing Blu-rays.
Okay.
It could have been a codec. Just, I don't know what the reason. This particular Blu-ray, Aliens, wasn't working.
Right.
And I thought, why am I messing around with this? I've got the best Blu-ray player sat on the right-hand side. Obviously, with the energy crisis, it's been plugged in, but it's been off on the rocker switch. You know, good PS3 thing to do.
Is this your modded PS3?
It's the genetically modified Hulk of PS3s.
Mm-hmm. The perfection of PS3.
I reached around the back of my old friend. Recommend that to anyone. Got an old friend. Reach around the back. Flick the rocker switch. Red light comes on. Beautiful. We're seconds away from 1080p goodness here. In the world of 4K, who needs that? We need 1080p. Obediently, like a little French poodle that's been trained by Valerie Singleton herself, I caressed that front light.
Oh, no.
Just that soft touch area on the front of the OG. Just down there. Doof. Yellow light of death.
Oh, no. Hold your head stand, though.
That's a sad, dead.
Sad day.
So at 3 o'clock in the morning, bereft with grief, one would imagine the sensible thing would be to go to sleep. But no, when the king is dead, long live the king.
You're trying to defib it. Clear. One more go, please. Come on. Clear.
To be honest, there was a bit of that. There was a bit of that.
Back off at
the
now.
Rocker. Back on the rocker.
You can't leave me.
So there I see my whole setup just evaporate in front of my eyes. The sensible thing to do would be to go to sleep. The sensible thing to do wouldn't be to get a soldering iron out.
What, 3 o'clock?
No, I didn't do that. I crept up to the Ponsilbury attic and I pulled down a PS3 that's been sent to me by you. The slim. The super slim. Just a slightly more athletic version.
Mm-hmm.
It was at that point in time I decided to set that up in the system.
Don't tell me that had a yellow light.
No, God, no. That would be awful, wouldn't it? No, it fired up, purred straight into action, whisper quiet. I don't know what to do about the original, the OG launch model with all of its life-giving power. What I am going to do on completion of this is I'm going to go upstairs and rip the SDD out of its arsehole. Is that PG? I've said it now.
Add beep here.
Rip that clean out, stick it in the new one, make it the ultimate version. Yes, it's got no internal stuff going on inside it, but you know what? She will do me through. The other one...
They're way more reliable, those slims. Way more reliable.
Why did you say that?
Well, you just proved it.
I'm going to go and sit down for a lap of Gran Turismo 6, probably next week by the time it's installed, And it's going to break, isn't it?
No.
Anyway, with all that aside, the loss of a dear friend.
Just going back to that, didn't you? You had that all refurb or pasted and everything, didn't you?
Yeah, delidded the whole back.
Was that one in a...
I did see. Obviously, people came in for PS5, Xbox Series X news, but I did see that it could be a power because it, you know, in its life, it's not really done anything. Last time I played on it, not even that long ago, the fan barely kicked in, and it was freezing cold as well. It wasn't even warm, so it can't be. Oh, I don't know. It could be a power supply issue, apparently. It could even be the CMOS battery.
That's normally a warning sign if the fan doesn't kick in because it's not working and expelling the heat out of the back.
No, but the fan was kicked in, but it wasn't going nuts.
Oh, okay.
Last time I played, it's just been a really good little boy, you know. Mm. It was doing its thing. It was like, but it wasn't. Didn't sound like your mum hoovering when you're trying to play, you know, video game back in the day, and the TV would go all fuzzy. You'd have to lift your controller up, and then she would lose interest and hoover up half your Lego at the same time. I did ask you. Didn't sound anything like that.
Maybe it just got jealous, all the PS5. It's like, right, that's it. I'm ending it. That's it. You'd go
well,
for her and
I did think
got that
about
that new sexy model over there, and you just leave me sitting here.
Yeah,
well, that's it. I've had enough.
I did think about putting the PS3 up on the mantelpiece and then Tombstone pile driving the PS5 through the coffee table in front of it, sacrificially,
yeah,
in the hope that it would reawaken it.
Just to show you love.
Yeah. Well, you know, like the sun god of Mayan culture, it demands a sacrifice. Maybe this is what... Let me tell you what. Here's the cheap option, okay? I'll bring it back down out of the attic. I'll put it on the mantelpiece. I will behead the PS5 in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't work on two consoles down. Oh, so yeah, a little bit sad really, because I've really enjoyed that girl. She was just something nice about that aesthetic. But the Slim looks cool. I might take it in the shed later and give it a blowout. I said a blowout with the air compressor. Mm-hmm. See what happens. Anyway, all that to one side.
Yes.
There's my there's my news. What's your news? Not the news, but what's your news?
Well, look, I've been away for
Hang on. Holiday. I take 1 week off.
Yep.
My PS3 dies.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been playing?
Right. Well, obviously, Tears of the Kingdom. Still in that because obviously took my Switch away with me on holiday. So that was pretty much just Tears of the Kingdom I was playing. I'm about 60-ish hours in now. I've done coming up for 70 shrines. I'm about 10 hearts I've got now. So I'm getting there. I've done one of the story quests.
Does Tinder cost money or no? It's free, is it? Yeah. Why aren't you on there getting a girlfriend? I don't know. 70 shrines.
Mm. Yes, 60 hours.
Oh,
in.
God. Yeah.
So, yeah, been still loving it. Absolutely loving that game. I won't go into because this is going to be another Harvestella where I keep saying I've been playing it every week and everyone gets bored. But, yeah, so I've been loving that. When I finished Harvestella, there was a cheer from the... from the audience.
They loved it, I loved it, you loved it, we all loved a bit of it.
But I've also got a new toy. There's a new console in the lineup next to the LG.
The Finger Blaster 5000?
No, I told you not to mention that on there. I've got the Switch, I've got my PS5, and it has now been joined by Series X.
Hold up. Hey, are you ready for the next episode? Whoa, 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 whoa. Play Series X every day. What's going on here, friend? What's this?
Well, I wanted to, complete the trifecta, make sure I had all three.
Let me tell you an alternate reality somewhere. 6 months from now,
mm-hmm.
All the PlayStation stuff, even though it's camp made out of campfood, outside burning on a sacrificial pyre while you sit inside cackling with the with the Xbox series of consoles round
you. Green lights everywhere.
Yeah.
Proper fanboy.
Your large cranium squeezed into an undersized Master Chief helmet and a pair.
Only and a photo of Jim Ryan on the wall covered in darts.
Jim Ryan on the wall and you in a pair of the only, and this that helmet and only a pair of Launch 360 white with a circular green logo on the crotch, Speedos.
I have them, actually.
With an Xbox One launch pair of sliders.
Yeah.
We call them flip-flops, but obviously we're a worldwide show.
Yes. Series X. Only thing I've been playing at the moment is Forza Horizon 5. I've put about 30 hours into that so far.
Absolute beast. Yeah. Where is the Series X? Is it amongst the fallen brothers there in console heaven? Or is it underneath
TV? You know what I'm like? I'm a bit OCD with the console, so they're in size order. So you've got the PS5, Series X in the middle, OLED Switch next to that.
This is in the home suite, not in the shed.
This is in the home suite next to the LG. Three controllers on the coffee table. One button.
They talk to each other, or do they not?
Yeah, they're getting on all right. There was a bit of argy-bargy when I started off.
Like, who kicked off first?
PS5. Yeah, so what are you doing here? You're not welcome here. Yeah, there was an Xbox One in. He was down below. You don't come up here.
You're technically more powerful than me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think you are coming in here like that?
Flexing your green, your sort of green undertones in your top vent. How dare you? I mean, from where I am, looking down the way I am, I mean, it does look pretty cool. It suggests that all of it is green, not just that top level vent. Hello there, darling.
Yeah, so been playing Forza Horizon 5, been loving that. I mean, that's give me that sort of driving kick I've been looking for in the game, seeing as where Need for Speeds are gone nowadays. I mean, after playing Unbound, and you just want a really good open world racing game where you can upgrade your cars. That's all you need. And Forza Horizon is that, you know, that's the main game for open world driving games now. That's the one to have. I mean, you get a Need for Speed Unbound, and it's nowhere near what Forza Horizon 5 is. That's all I've been playing there at the moment.
Man reinvents wheel, discovers wheel under his bedside table the whole time.
Yeah. So, well, that's opened up the library now. So I've got, you know, I've got the options of the three main consoles now. So I can play.
Hang on a minute. You've only been on the show 5 minutes and you've opened up the Farmington Library.
Well,
the ribbon cutting.
You pay me well, so.
It took how many years to repair after the plane crash?
Farmington plane crash. That's a blast from the past. I did have a little go. We're on holiday with our friends, and a daughter wanted to get Minecraft Dungeons, so I had a little go on that. I quite enjoyed that. It's like sort of
Fisher Price, my
Hades.
First Diablo.
yeah, it's quite good. Quite enjoyed that. Looks good on the Switch. Plays well. Really.
James,
really
the work experience boy, literally played the wheels off it. He had spreadsheets and all sorts. He was very into that. Oh yeah. There's all the different armors and builds and all that other brand that you can do. And then,
it's more in depth than I thought it would be.
Yeah. It rewards the committed player.
Mm. So I'm definitely going to play more of that, I think. I played the demo for Final Fantasy 16 about a week ago, just before it came out.
Don't look at me.
I'm not.
Look at the floor.
I am. I'm still in memory of that poor PS3.
Shall I go get it? We'll do the show with it.
What, you cuddling it crying?
Yeah, it's me cuddling it.
You'll be a mess. So play that demo. I'm not normally a Final Fantasy fan, but that Final Fantasy 16 with the new combat and that is right up my street.
Wait.
I thought I enjoyed that.
I don't know why this. I know you're saying things that someone like me should be paying interest in, but I've had this. I had this overriding thought, and I need to run it by you.
Oh God, here we go. All right.
Do I sacrifice the solid state drive from the OG PS3 and put it in my PS4 Pro and enjoy the benefits there of like my second daily driver? Or do I take it out of the PS3 and put it in the slim PS3, almost like the crown of the king being moved from one to his son? I don't know what comes after this. It'll be a super slim, and if it dies, probably throw it at the Vita or something. And leave it as it is, OG stock. Thoughts?
Depends how much you play your PS4, because if you're going to play your PS4 games on your PS5, there's probably no point. You might as well put the SSD in the PS3. But if you've got the PS4 in a different room and you still play it quite a lot, yeah, then maybe it might be worth dropping the SSD in the PS4.
Yeah, because I tell you one thing, that Pro is an absolute beast, just being my stealth PS5.
I use my PS4 Pro in the shed. So when I'm in here and I'm playing the PS4 games, I'm on there. And, you know, when you get like the 4K upgraded games, they still look good on there. Still a bit of kit.
When you remote play the PS5 to the PS4 Pro, the fan just stops. It doesn't. Yeah. So you're playing 4K games.
Yeah.
And the console's not even making a sweat.
Mm.
Bit like you. Probably not the right time for that euphemism. Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 16. Like I said, I've only played the demo, so I can't. Quote on the game itself, but the actual demo I thought was fantastic. Really had that sort of Game of Thrones sort of style of story with your Devil May Cry combat, which is obviously the dev who done the combat is from the Devil May Cry series. You can see that DNA in there. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. So I think once Tears of the Kingdom is done, which will probably be about 2024, then I will buy Final Fantasy 16. But that's definitely going to be my next big game, I think, because I've really got invested in the story and even just in that short demo.
Where does the demo get you to?
I think it's only about a couple of hours, and it's probably, I'd say, 50% cutscenes. But it's very clever demo because it tells you the story, it tells you where you're at, it gives you the tutorial of how to play, gives you that first little couple of missions, and then leaves you. So you're like, oh, I want to know more. It's a very clever demo. It's basically, right, go and get the game, you can carry on there.
I don't want to be... Is that all you've played? Because I want to skip to this.
The only other thing I've played is you will take the mickey out of me. Because you normally do when I start bringing out stuff that...
What, you wee out of that?
Anyway... while we were away, I went to Retro Blast Coffee, the arcade cafe in Newquay.
That's where you got the Finger Blast 5000?
No, that was on a specialist online store. while I was in there, I was got a bit addicted to playing Frogger.
On what version?
Arcade version Frogger, the actual arcade. So
it's free to sign.
So what?
Yes. It's good. Nothing else.
Oh yeah, you're saying.
Yeah, thanks for that. And then, so when I got back, I dusted off the copy of Frogger I've got on the Atari 2600. I knew you'd do this. Here we go. I'm ready for this. Come on. So I've been playing Frogger.
Playing arcade perfection, no issues at all. Then he goes home for a seriously downgraded version.
It's actually a really good version, but also the only reason I dusted off the 2600 version.
You just say these things now because you know slopes. You don't mean this.
No, I don't.
You don't mean any of this.
Hang on. Are you a bit jealous?
What about playing
me getting superstar YouTuber friends, are you feeling a bit left out? You've had all this with a PS3. Now you think I'm not going anywhere. Don't panic.
Why don't anyone ever want to be my friend? What about me as bad person? PS3 would rather off itself than spend another minute with me.
Off itself.
permanently.
Well, I think it was just a bit needed a bit of attention. It was a bit clingy, and saw all that time you were putting it on a PS5, and you weren't even looking at it when you're in PSVR2. So I just thought, right, I'm done. Don't want me anymore.
Oh, do you think there was a moment where it was just sort of one solitary tear just drips down its cheek, and it's like, yeah.
Just a little bit of thermal paste just dribbled out of a standby port. He's in that PSVR2 again. I bet he doesn't even know I'm here.
What's annoying is I went deep on that money-wise. Absolutely savage, but anyway.
It might just be something simple, like might be the standby switch or power. Might be the power. Just need redoing or... I mean, you had all the thermal paste done on that, so I'd be surprised if that overheated.
You would, wouldn't you? But
yeah, especially
it could be a motherboard failure, which would be likely. That motherboard's had a lot of work.
But I will just say one more thing on a serious note. While I was down in Cornwall, I finished my games, but while I was down in Cornwall, I visited a store, which I always go to every year. It's a little game shop in Truro. I'll put a link in the Discord. The guy, I always go and chat with the guy, he's a lovely guy. He knows the podcast and bits and pieces. Went this year, which his daughter was in. Unfortunately, he'd passed away, the chap. Not a nice story. I'm not going to go into it. But his daughter's now taken over the store, trying to keep it going. So if you are ever in the Truro area, I'd mention on the podcast, she's going to be listening. She's got our flyers in there. So if you're in that area, pop in. Say you listen to UCP and just give her a bit of support. You know, maybe go buy a couple of games, maybe trade a few in if you've got any. And yeah, just pop in and see her.
You let me talk about the PS3 knowing that you would bring this information up. And I do feel for this girl, but now, like, you know, wow. I feel totally disrespectful and I'm not good enough at editing to fix this.
No, it's fine. Don't be silly. I just said I'd mention it. That was all, because I popped in and bought some games off a very reasonable price.
Let's do the UCP pump.
Yeah. So
where is it?
Well, what I'll do is I'll chuck. It's in Truro.
No. Not just for the Discord VIPs. I mean, let's do it on the air right now. Where is it?
It's in Truro in Cornwall. It's in a little open market area. And it is called, I've got to remember the name of it now. I think it's called Faceless Monkey, which is the store. And I see it's just at the top end of this little market you go in. She's got a great selection from, like I say, Atari 2600. She's got right up to PS4, PS3, Xbox 360s. She's got Mega Drive, Master System. She has all Pokemon stuff. So brilliant, you know. And she was even kind enough, because I was talking to her about her dad and bits and pieces. She even gave me, because I had my Sonic bag on, just give me a Sonic keyring to put on me bag to say, yeah, there's a little thing for me dad for you. And I thought, that's really, really sweet. So, yeah, if you're in that area, pop in to see her. Say you listen to the UCP and give her a bit of love and give her a bit of trade, you know. She'll really appreciate that.
If you're going on holiday down that area, don't go CEX.
Nope.
Pack an overnight bag with your trades.
Mm-hmm.
Go down there and do something meaningful with your lives.
And I will also pop all the links to our store, website, all bits and pieces in the Discord. So if you're in there, and you fancy, you know, and you're in that area, and you want to know where it is, I'll pop it all in for you, address the lot. Okay.
What do we get to see the stock?
What I'll do is I'll email her, and if she takes pictures of the store, I will upload them on there. So then, if there's anything you want, or if she, I don't know if she does mail order, but she might well do to keep things going. But I'm sure there's something we can come up with there with her. So I'll put pictures of the stock on. You can see if there's anything you want or need. Or, like I say, if you're going down that way on holiday, just go and check her out.
Get your wallets ready, UCP family.
Yes. Yeah, brilliant.
Okay.
So we've now got to go. What have you been playing?
Well,
obviously not PS3, but...
Did I tell you I finished Horizon Burnish Shores? Yeah, I've done that. It's been a while, hasn't it? MLB
lads of leisure
got through to the postseason. First game crashed out. It is what it is. I've never been so ridiculed with home runs, and it had to be then, didn't it? Absolutely savage. I'd like really ground for that wild card spot as well, but you know, you can only do what you can do. As a pitcher, you've got to throw summits. And then Final Fantasy 16, I've been getting stuck in with that. There's been some other stuff, Anno, Jurassic Park, Evolution 2, a little bit more of that Star Trek game. But Final Fantasy 16.
How far are you into the story?
I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours, maybe a bit more. I did this with 13, sort of like couldn't really grind with it, then went back to it retrospectively and absolutely just couldn't put it down.
Mm.
And I don't know whether it's the setting, like the first, the last one, 15, starts in a different way. It's like the pushing the car, you're kind of already on the story. Things evolve in a different way. This one feels very much like a game from 40 years ago. And so I know everyone's like, well, how dare you, George? Everyone else, all the critics are raving about this game. It's absolutely fantastic. Even RGT said he couldn't get enough of it after the demo. We called it crack. I know he did. But it's very, feels very clunky. And it's not quite as much fun as I thought it would be. I'm going to give it a good play today. That's if I can leave the PS3, the new PS3. Come here, darling.
Well, I think what I've noticed about it is a lot of the proper hardcore FF purists are not on board with it. You know, I know it's not turn-based, but I think it's even, you know, you get to sort of Final Fantasy 12 and that, the menus and your leveling up system is really complicated, in-depth. They seem to have drifted all away from that and made it a more playable, easier RPG, which has brought a different audience in, but your hardcore don't really seem to be on board with it from what I've seen.
Maybe you're right. You know, though, I remember Final Fantasy 13 had that chrysalis system for like advancing yourself through it. I mean, this doesn't have anything, it automatically does it. But it's less that, it's the setting, it's the fast travel everywhere. Like, what am I missing? Where's the open world? Like, what's happening here? Is this just a tutorial? Am I just being a dum-dum? Am I slightly less intelligent than other people and therefore I'm missing bits? You know, I don't really find it that stellar to look at, if I'm honest with you. It's not like it blew me away completely. I'll have to just see. I'll put another couple of hours into it and see where it goes. And it may be one that I come back to on a rainy day and fall in love with. And in 3 years from now, we do an episode where I tell you, like, you know, why are you even drawing breath if you haven't played this game?
Mm.
I don't know quite what the issue is with it, but
I think for me, I always struggle with Final Fantasy games. So to actually go into a demo, play one and enjoy it, I think that's why I like it, because it's more my sort of style of game.
That's what I was interested about, where you got to. Like, what point does a demo cut?
I think it's after you beat that first, I can't remember the name of the monster that keeps coming out of the water, that massive, you work your way through that first area and then you get that first big old monster come out you have to fight. So your first sort of big
in the boss, swamp that breathes all the green in it.
Yeah, well, a little.
I was liking it till that point as well.
Yeah. So, but I don't know whether it's because I was surprised. I mean, to me, you could have probably called that anything other than Final Fantasy, because that's not what I would imagine a Final Fantasy game to be.
Could have called it Northern Dragon Slayer.
Yeah. But I think it's probably why
a lot of. Do you watch Salvage Hunters?
No, not really. I've seen the odd one or two.
But it's the narrator is a guy called Ralph Ineson, who's also Finchy in The Office, in The British Office.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I know him, but the old deep.
Yeah.
He's in Ready Player One as well.
Well, he's in this.
Yeah. Is he? Oh, yes, he is, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He's in this. No, then, young Dragon Slayer, whatever he says. I'm like, oh, I can't take it seriously. It feels like he's going to come round the corner and say, like, T-loads of Van Wadru goes in and finishes off business on the 13th century painting that he's bought.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and that's it, gaming-wise. It's been, I'll be honest with you, I've, under the radar, just been playing an awful lot of MLB.
Really?
Mm. And when I say an awful lot, I mean...
You never went back to Madden, then?
I deleted it. It was an absolute disgrace. In comparison of a sports game, it made me appreciate MLB even more. We think, oh, no, we want all this and we want all that in MLB. No, we absolutely do not. Just keep doing what you're doing, because you simulate the game and its TV presentation.
perfectly.
Mm. Right.
When, where, how is it time for me to get the karaoke out? Is it now?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to do this one in like a mournful, respectful way.
I was going to say, do it. Just pay our respects to the PS3 that unfortunately decided to end its life through lack of attention.
Bye, bye, little PS3. Miss you in the saddest fashion. Ooh. Bye, bye, beloved PS3.
Gorgeous.
Your 5,000 candles in the wind.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hidden gem, RGT Boone.
You've done well to hold back the tears, then. I can see the emotion running through you then.
Tell you what, when I first recounted the story, the journey that that me and that PS3 have been on has been a roller coaster, baby. And it was quite, when that yellow light went bleep, bleep, bloop, I was like,
Did you like all your memories flash through your eyes?
Yes. Now save me from myself with this. And this needs to be a banger. It needs to be on PS3. It needs to help me move on from my unfortunate circumstances.
Ah.
Your 5,000 yellow lights in the wind.
Right. You might be disappointed then, because this is from 1992.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
I just don't think as CEO of this show I get enough respect.
But the developer of this game...
Is it in for podcast cameras? Is it free? No.
Subscription. You'll like the developer's name because that's Bobby's OnlyFans name. So it's developed by Hot B.
Oh, right. I thought you were going
to... Hot B. Hot Bobby developed this.
I thought it was Ginger Totem and Canyon.
No, he's changed now. He's changed his name now.
You red hot lover from Liverpool?
You're putting me off here.
Who am I subscribed to if that's not him?
I have no idea, and I'd probably rather not know.
No face, but I always saw it as him because, you know.
Anyway.
Collars and cuffs and all that.
Yep. PG.
It said anything bad yet?
No, you don't need to. Published by Flying Edge.
Oh, what machine is it on?
Mega Drive, but it did come out on Nintendo eShop. For the
is it like years. Red Steel or something? No,
you're very close.
Red Dawn.
I will just show you
Empire of Steel.
It's also called Steel Empire in other places as well.
It is.
Side-scrolling shooter.
You're not allowed to do a side-scrolling shooter for at least a month.
Okay.
I hate them.
Do you?
I'm rubbish at video games, therefore I'm on a podcast. I don't know what you think you're doing, man. Yeah.
I'm playing Frogger in a Mega Drive game from 1992, so...
all for your CV for Slopes. You'll be on his podcast next week, and then it'll be a guest slot that's enlarged to work at my temporary co-host vacancy, and before you know it, I'm doing solo shows.
Well, you could be T-Boy. Always need tea. No sugar, please. White.
I don't know. Thought of that gives me a little bit of PTSD, if I'm honest with you.
Well, you're still involved with the show, aren't you? And you're making me happy, so everyone's a winner.
I've never heard a man say something so camp in his whole life.
You're making me happy.
You're making me happy. Everyone's a winner. Right. back to the game where we originally were. Yeah. Empire of Steel. Side-scrolling shooter. It's got a very good aesthetic. It's got a steampunk sort of alternate 1900s. And basic story, as most shooters have, there's a dictator called Styron and his army called the Motorhead Army. No relation to the band. Are trying to take over the world, and it's your aim to work through the missions and take down the Motorhead. And you have two choices of ships. You have like a smaller, almost like a bird flying ship, or you have like a like an airship, like a hot air balloon, sort of a boat that you can use. It's quite interesting because you can power up almost sort of very, very basic RPG as you play. You can get up to level 20 with all your different weapons and bits and pieces. Plus points, graphically looks good. Why are you giggling, George?
Personal reasons.
Oh, dear. I can see you giggling away there when I was trying to describe the game.
I just heard, like, big balloons. In my mind, I heard Zeppelins, and I heard you say something about something motorboat, and I just went.
Oh, dear. You weren't thinking of a dead eating a Zeppelin race, were you?
Have I missed this?
You might have done.
Is this his other OnlyFans name, or?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Dead Heat in the Zeppelin. Right?
Give me the crack with this then, because
anyway,
always fondly remember seeing this on the shelves back in the day and always assuming as a small child it had something to do with Beneath the Steel Sky. I don't know why, but the aesthetic and the label always confused me.
Yeah, it's that steampunk aesthetic, which looks good graphically for the Mega Drive. Looks really good. Stage 3. Where
it's the font.
Yeah, that sort of parallax scrolling, and stage 3 is like a sunset, so you get like the purple, orangey clouds where you're flying through. Looks really good. Soundtrack wise is okay. Sound effects are pretty basic. It's probably a weak part of the game, but it is, you'll like this, it is very easy. It was deliberately made that way. So if you die, yeah, now you're listening, aren't you? eBay, Empire of Steel. it's very easy. So when you lose a life, you come back straight away with your power ups automatically, and that was done because there was a lot of, you know, real hard shooters around at the time. So this was made so that, you know, for the lesser skilled player could get through it. This did have a port on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, I wondered if it made it to any other system.
But, yeah, that's mega money. If you see that, that's ridiculous money. 3DS got a version on the Nintendo Store, which is no longer available. But if you have Steam, you can pick this up for just over £2 if you fancy playing it, and that's with the upgraded graphics.
That's a hallmark of quality, that price point.
But if you want to buy the Mega Drive version, you can Mega Drive Collector, you're for a box complete CIB, you're looking £20 to £30, but you'll get it £5 to £10 for cartridge if you aren't worried about the box. So it's still an affordable shooter for the Mega Drive. And it is, you know, it is, I know I always said this, but it is something different. It's not your generic shooter. It's steampunk, little bit of a story to it, little bit of upgrading as you go. So it's definitely worth your time.
Okay. That's awesome. Will it be on the Discord soon so we can all go dribble over it?
Yep, that'll be on the Discord soon.
I request, nay, demand an off the cuff RGT special right now, Georgie dedication. I will fill for you if time is needed, but I want you to go to your PS2 area, wildly flay your hand around, and then just stab us.
Me on OnlyFans.
Right, pull it out, bring it to me, show me what it is, and I'll see if I've got it. And if I do, I don't know why, but I feel compelled. I've been feeling this strange.
What, you want me to go now and go and grab a game off the PS2 selection?
But do it randomly. You've got to close your eyes, waggle your finger around, and then boof, dive in. Turn, pull out. Okay.
This is going to be a bit of a plaver. You're going to have to feel. I will just make my mic.
I'll feel. I'll tell you what, while you're doing that, I'll do the news and I'll do the first story. And by the time you're back, we'll be good to go.
You can any game.
You do it randomly. You close your eyes. And the thing about random is you don't know what you're going to pick. So you wave your finger around, stick it in, pull it out, have a sniff, see what it is, bring it to me. Okay? It's time for the news. Let's go out the very darkest range of the internet to bring you the latest stories first up. This news is too soon for my aching heart. With the loss of the PS3, PS5's now in pole position. Well, it looks like Square Enix has got some work to do with Final Fantasy 16, the action RPG, which released just over a week ago at the time of writing this little ditty, maybe even longer now, appears to have some pretty serious crashing issues. And when we say serious, we mean it's straight up overheating PS5 consoles and completely shutting them down. This is according to multiple user reports across Reddit and Twitter and Very, and they all tell the exact same story. Final Fantasy 16 is crashing PS5s at a very specific point in the game, but only when it's in graphics mode. For contents, graphics mode pushes resolution but caps the frame rate at 30 frames per second. Since we on the show have never encountered this issue, and because we haven't seen more people talking about it, it's fair to assume that most players are using the game's performance mode, which outside of some frame rate dips doesn't have any major problems. We're wondering whether the summer heat's a contributing factor as well. Obviously, PlayStations are installed across the world, so it could be that someone on a very hot day had wrapped their console in the duvet and decided to play Final Fantasy 16. But either way, it's clear that this issue will have to be dealt with. It's not often that a game is capable of enforcing an entire system to collapse. Hopefully, Square Enix is on the case and this gets sorted sooner rather than later, but until then, we'd obviously recommend switching to performance mode if you're coming up to this point in Clive's Adventure. It would have been better off just being called Clive's Adventure, by the way. So before we get to my personal... I'm very excited about this, and I do want this to be in the Discord as well, George's special prize. Hopefully,
it's very random.
A, I'd better have it, and B, it better be good. Before we get...
No pressure there, then.
It was random, so the Sony gods are either shining or they're not. And this
Barbie's Horse Adventures is underrated.
This is my barometer to the sky to find out if I've appeased the Sony gods for my care of the PS3 or whether I've been cast asunder. And I feel this whatever you've chosen will certainly suggest where I sit within that holy pantheon. What do you hear about this? You know, PS3's popping the clogs left, right, and Chelsea, feeling a bit left out. PS5s have been doing it too.
Yeah, I did see something about this. That is strange, isn't it? I mean, is there many been overheating from this, or is this
just... There's been some random sporadic issues, but it seemingly is all tied back into this graphics mode. I don't know what to say, think, or do about this right now, but I thought as a piece of public service broadcasting, we ought to let people know.
Well, I mean, it's
not even kicked my fan in RGT. What about you?
No, well, I only played demo, but no, it was silent. It looked decent. I mean, I wouldn't say it was, wow, you know, the highest res I've ever seen. Mm. And if it's, you know, caps at 30 FPS, it's not exactly working a PS5, is it? So I find that strange that this game would, you know, make them overheat. I'd probably, like you say, whether it's certain continents or the PS5s they got have crammed in a tight space and they've had a heat wave and it's overheated them whilst playing FF16, I don't know.
Until we get more information, I think is that there's a whole lot of contributing factors that could maybe make this happen. I can't imagine that there's an error in the code, I'll be honest. So it's going to be something, obviously the PSI is going to be working at that point. There might be a lot of stuff going on.
Be interesting to see what model it is as well, because they done a refresh of the heatsink, didn't they, after about a year.
So they did.
Whether that's an early one or a later one, because the later one with the slimmed down heatsink does run slightly hotter, not too much, but maybe that was an issue. You know, we don't know, but see what models are.
Apparently, they've replaced that heatsink now with a can of tuna.
Ah, right. Oh, cool. That's not nice when it gets hot.
Well, just pray it doesn't explode. Covered in cooked, rancid fish guts. Okay, let's skip to everyone's. I think everyone's most keen to find out whether the Sony gods are happy with me or sad with me. And then whatever you're almost like, Mike. This is almost like a confessional to me. And this is going to be Hail Marys as far as I'm concerned. What do I need to do to atone? What is this game?
It's a collector's edition. PS2. It's like a remake of PS1 games.
Oh, no.
Can I show you?
Yes. Got that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
For the audio listeners, tell everyone what it is.
It is Tomb Raider Anniversary for the PS2 Collector's Edition.
I tell you what I'm going to do.
What's that?
To make sure I make it up to the Sony gods completely,
yeah,
I shall disconnect from everything and play that on PSP.
Okay. Is this like your cleansing your soul?
This is me out in the garden, stripped to the waist.
Facing your sins.
Flagellating myself with a load of nettles.
Crying. I'm sorry, PSP. I'm sorry.
To be fair, you know, although it's not peak PS2, it's not, you know, exclusive or anything like that to the console, which is probably what I was looking for as far as an experience goes. But I said random, you pick random. Considering that's also on newer hardware, it does look actually quite good on PS2.
Yeah, that is, I think.
And I do believe it's got the, if you've got the component leads, it is actually HD.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of 480i, whatever it does, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if it says on there.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is not good for radio, but can't see on there. But no, I think you're right. I think it does do the 480i, whatever, on there.
Okay, right. Well, that's my afternoon sorted. Thought I was going to play some Final Fantasy 16, but the gods have decided no. I'm going to pull on my galoshes and get wet.
Usual Sunday there, then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, next bit of news. It's okay, just remake another game. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag is easily one of the most beloved games in Ubisoft's long-running series. The seafaring escapades of Edward Kenway, first released on the PS4 and PS3 as a cross-gen title, a launch game for the PS4 all the way back in 2013. And now, almost a full decade later, two unnamed Kotaku sources are saying that Black Flag is finally getting a remake. Now, it's worth noting that this is supposed project is still very early, according to the aforementioned sources. The report states it won't be complete for at least a few years, so don't go expecting to reveal any at the next Ubisoft showcase. Ubisoft Singapore, the main studio behind the regularly delayed Skull and Bones. God, whatever happened to that? God, dear,
I think that and this are going to end up having a baby, and they're going to squeeze all of Skull and Bones' bloated development costs. I'll let you finish the tale.
He's apparently heavily involved with this now rumoured remake, which we suppose makes sense, seeing as the team played a
have
major
you got
role.
My teeth in?
Oh, it's terrible. I have a week away. I can't read for God dear. I've got the wrong glasses, I think. I've got Mrs. RGT's on. It developed the
you look good in them.
I knew that was coming. The ocean technology that made Black Hey, Donna. Play so impressive at the time, with its dynamic wave animations and realistic boat and bobbing physics. Oh, that's a mouthful. It'll be interesting to see how all this plays out, because like we say, Black Flag is widely regarded as a high point for Assassin's Creed as a franchise. And let's be honest, it's only a matter of time till Ubisoft starts remaking the classic Assassin's Creed games.
I would love to see him remake one. We're kind of getting it with a Mirage, but we're getting shortchanged because it's not. But this, I feel like they realise that Skull and Bones is about as popular as me right now. And they're trying to think of a way to make it more appealing. And they can sweep these development costs under the rug because it's not really going to cost them a great deal to remake Black Flag. It's going to cost them some money, but not loads in comparison to the Black Hole, which is Skull and Bones. And then they can add most of this Skull and Bones stuff on, either as a multiplayer or a continuation of the story. And people will pony up for Black Flag remake. I guarantee you they will. Big time, because that's a lot of people's high water point for the franchise. And I think that this would be a nice, sneaky way of getting that Skull and Bones functionality under people's noses and getting them locked into maybe the seasons of that game under the guise of, oh, remember how much you enjoyed Black Flag? So we've said several times on the show, if Skull and Bones had launched at the same time as Black Flag, it would be massive. But to bring it out, 10 years later?
Yeah, that's something people want then, not now.
Yeah, you know, but if you give them a remake with the Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag 4 remastered plus Skull and Bones. I don't see any other reason for that. You know,
I would imagine they're probably using the Skull and Bones engine as well to remake the.
And that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just as you know. Similar sort of games, and it's all there ready to use, isn't it?
Exactly. So I feel these two are going to join hands and march forward as one unit.
I think, they need to do something like that, Ubisoft. They've had a struggle of late, and they need to get back on.
Don't think without that, without the Black Flag in the background, I don't see as there's really any appetite for this Skull and Bones, because it's had playtests and it's been garbage.
Yeah.
They've delayed and delayed and delayed. They need to somehow recoup all the money they've spent.
Yeah, you know, and it was, like you say, it would have been after all the success of Black Flag, even if they had released Skull and Bones in 2015, 2016, just after it to keep, you know, while the hype's there. But it's fading away now, you know. And I think Ubisoft, they need a good new IP, don't they? A big IP they need. You know, you can only go back, you know, Assassin's Creed 1 would be a great one to remake. Maybe do like a 1, 2, and 3, like they did with, do a Legendary Edition, like they did with Mass Effect. That would be a stopgap while they get a new IP going, so they could do something.
Or use the Mirage engine or the latest version of the engine they used in Valhalla just to smash these out. Them out. If they're going to do it properly, they're going to have to remake a lot of elements, but you catch my drift. Okay, well, there's that. So, Burial at Sea. PS5 passes away in the first news story, Burial at Sea in the second news story, and this one, a bit of light, a legend finally earns retirement. Now, I've had the good fortune to have seen this with my own eyes in New York, but Nintendo was known in its early years of video game development for its durable and long-lasting hardware, but one system that trumped all was the legendary Game Boy. In fact, there's one famous Game Boy, as you might recall, that was damaged in a bombing during the Gulf War and still works. In an update, the Game Boy has apparently been retired from active duty. VGA Art and Tidbits on Twitter asked one of the New York store employees about it after not seeing it on display for a while and was informed the famous handheld had been returned to Nintendo's headquarters in Redmond, Washington. Here's Nintendo's simple history of the system. You could still see the original Game Boy Tetris running on the screen. The Game Boy was damaged when a barracks was bombed during the 1990 to 1991 Gulf War, and it still works. Luckily, Silicon Era has also shared a little bit more information about this Game Boy's backstory. The console originally belonged to Dr. Stephen Scoggins, a medic that was deployed during Operation Desert Storm in 1991 to 1991, immortalized in the game Desert Strike. While the front of the Game Boy was completely burnt during the Gulf War, it could still turn on. And after returning from war, the Game Boy unit was displayed in Nintendo New York Center store as a testament of the system's durability. Nintendo gave Dr. Scoggins a replacement Game Boy as a special Desert Storm courtesy. So, someone builds durable hardware. I think I should sell everything I own and retreat to the attic room with nothing but milk fed to me through a cat flap and a Game Boy Mark One.
Yep, slightly singed.
Yeah.
Although that one was heavily singed, wasn't it?
I don't think I'll be using that one. Yeah. So, it's nice to know that within the world of older bits of kit, some of the bits of kit still seems to be almost bulletproof. So you see what we've done here. We've been inclusive. We've gone full circle.
Yeah, you get the more modern systems. There's so much packed in them now.
You'd think this show had been planned. Scary thought.
But yeah, I mean, all my collection, my retro stuff, which I play quite a bit, you very rarely have to get anything fixed. I've said that now; they're all going to break, aren't they?
Yes.
Be a PS3 times 10. Times 20 even. But the only thing I have to do with mine is like get them recapped, other than that, leaky caps. It's very rare you have to do anything, but the technology was a lot simpler, you know, so they are more durable, you know. It's a bit like modern cars, and there's so much electrics and bits and pieces added in now, there's more to go wrong, isn't there? But that's impressive that, you know, I know how basic a Game Boy is, but to be that melted like it was. And if you haven't seen the pictures, Google it, because it is phenomenal. It still turns on.
I was impressive, fortunate enough to see it in real life on a trip to New York. I don't know, probably in the very early 2000s, I would say, from memory. And that was one of the, out of the whole store, that's the thing I took away to this day. I say it predates the internet, but it predates everybody using the internet and everyone being an expert on everything all of a sudden just because they Googled it. This was an era where stories traveled by word of mouth more. And I'd read about that in a magazine somewhere. So when we got to the Nintendo store, I was keen to see it. And I was not disappointed. This thing is battered and bruised. Plastic is melted.
Yeah.
And the fact, I don't think it works from the battery. I do believe that it's hooked up to mains, whether that's just for display, because it's permanently displaying Tetris, or whether there was more damage to it than we realized. I don't know if it's playable either, because the buttons are all melted as well. And one would imagine they're just one sinuous piece of plastic blob on the front. But you know what? It turns on, it runs. Certainly did you ever see PlayStation 3.
Did you ever see that guy who had the house fire with his PS5 melted? Did you see that?
Did it work?
Yeah, it melted sort of it melted about a third of the way down. It was just about, I might be wrong. I don't know if that's to do with the forest fires in America. I might be wrong. But anyway, his house had burnt down and the PS5, and he put it on, I don't know, his Instagram or TikTok, and said, right, you know, I've got the stuff, some of the stuff back. Let's try it. He turned it on, bing, game fired up and played. So I think it's, luckily enough, I think because that top part is your fan going down to your heat sink. So I think the gear underneath was saved, but that was a third melted as brown. And that still turned on.
Supposedly. Well, don't make them like they used to, or seemingly they do.
Yeah. Well, the odd ones. Good job he did put Final Fantasy 16 in. That blew up.
Probably what started the forest fire.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the PS5 that started.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, with that, line drawn. Community corrections. Do we have any, have you made any slip-ups? One would imagine we have, but have we been caught out by the listeners in the Discord?
I don't think we have, actually.
Our gaming knowledge is beaten only by our below-average looks.
I'm technically checking as we go because I'm worried I've missed something. Community corrections.
No.
No, we haven't.
Okay, very good. So once again, we're masters of our gaming knowledge of flawless victory.
Well, it's more likely no one's noticed the mistakes, but yeah, we'll take that.
That's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Did you want to do the Discord comment of the month?
Yeah, we could do that. I think that would have to go to, well, who do you think first? I know who I think.
No, I'll follow your lead.
I've got to find it, though, I can't remember, but I know Bobaloba chose it for us, or Boba, the manager.
Discord community manager.
Yeah.
It's a lofty title. Wouldn't mind to be a penny behind him on pay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to find it now.
Thank you, Boba.
That's one of Rose Space Monk's puns, as always, because he is so good at those puns. I'm really sorry, I can't find it.
While RGT finds it, I will fill, because I'll tell you that if we missed anything, or if you've got an opinion or take on the news that we missed, you might say, George, how would the collective masses get to interact with us? Well, what I would say is you can message us on email at questions@unofficialcontrollerpodcast.com, or you can DM us on Instagram or Twitter. But we would much prefer to get to know you mano a mano, woman a womano, kiddo a kiddo, whatever it is, doggo a doggo, on the Discord. Now, there's links to that on Instagram and Twitter. If you click there, there's a link tree that pops up, probably Bobby's spicy content. Maybe Seb's got a link to his train sets. RGT's got a collection of brassieres between 1920 and 1935, his specialist subject, the introduction of the Underwire. And then a catalogue of the different brassieres that he's found, also different manufacturers, and how brassieres have evolved during that period, from simple silk undergarments to a more structured bustier type invention.
I'm glad you've been reading it.
It's fascinating, really. I didn't realise, obviously, you know, the full lengths and depths of your depravity, but do you have a comment for us?
Yes, I do. This was Bada Binkster had put on a picture of a film he'd found and said, this is a Stingray special. And it was called Bat Thumb. Instead of Batman, it was Bat Thumb. So it's a thumb with a Batman mask on.
I love it.
And Rose Space Monk had answered, that looks all thumb.
And he's won the internet. So there's an assist from Bada Binkster, but the actual goal came from Ray Space Monk.
That looks awesome.
Wow. Okay, so he gets the special Discord crown.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the pink title for the month.
He has, yep.
What are you going to send him? Because he's dripping in UCP merch.
Oh, I've already got him a little gift, and I've notified him of it already. So that is winging its way up to Scotland to him as we speak.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Well, do we demand that if people want to find out what it is that we've got him as a prize, they probably need to join the Discord and have a little look? See,
have a look on the Discord, because Rose Space Monk will pop the picture on there when he's received his gift for being Discord champ for June. So have a look and see what you think, and then we'll do the same as we get towards the end of July. We'll find our favourite comment, and you never know, it could be you. Join in.
Question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the show. You think, is it possible? I don't know, you know what these podcasts are like, they're a bit weird, but would it be possible to meet you guys in person? Or is that never going to happen? And if so, how would they do that?
Well, the best way to do that is get yourself tickets for Timeless Gaming Convention.
What?
August the 16th in Bury Arcade Club. Because our beautiful faces will be there. And when I say beautiful, I'm probably exaggerating a bit. Don't come to the event thinking you're going to see two beautiful faces. You just see George's, which is acceptable, and mine.
I would argue that. And is the tallest man in gaming going to be there?
Yes, he is. No, he's he's the event organizer or co-event organizer.
Who is the tallest man in gaming?
It is middle-aged gamer guy.
Hang on a minute. I know that name. Did we not do a whole episode with him?
We certainly did. We had him on as a guest, and a fantastic guest, I might add. So, yeah, this is...
He was very popular, actually, wasn't he? That show did gangbusters.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's hiding his whole community, but when they turn up, they turn up en masse. Absolutely brilliant.
And I'll also be appearing on his Twitch stream on August the 1st. You want to jump over there and see me chat my usual rubbish like I do on here, and then you'll see me do it on a different show. So I'll be a guest representative.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Look out, celebrity Bobby. You're doing...
Well, someone's got to be the celeb of the show, haven't they? You know, that's a hard job, but I'm willing to take one for the team.
Well, you know, I see it like maybe six, not even that long, probably 2 weeks from now. You'll be doing a show, uploading it to YouTube, and I'll have like a brown sort of janitor's jacket on, just sort of sweeping in the grattan lines. Hello, sorry, Mr. Thomas. Just mind if I sweep around you, please, sir?
Like I keep saying to you, George, a job is a job. You'll still be involved. You know?
Make looks like tea, I've won the sweep. Yeah.
Literally.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I tell you someone who's always got my back.
Who's that?
The Ray. Blood runs deep with the Ray. And I'm not being funny, but the Ray family can trace its origins all the way back to the third Duke of Farmington. He had mystical powers, but he also had a love child in the village. Ray. The immortal one. It's time for a peek in what we affectionately call Stingray's Boot. What's nestled between some counterfeit nappies and a dodgy copy of Battle for Endor this week? These are the new release highlights for the week, July 3rd to July 9th. Listeners, these are out in digital or physical, or will be by the time this pod sack.
Wow.
I shouldn't have had a funeral for the PS3 at 3 in the morning and
welcome
then got up to
this
do a
week's
show.
Unofficial controller pod sack.
In your feed, but could be region dependent. All right. Spring stock, wow, whoa. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing the bluebird. Oh, my mate, I'm seeing the bluebird as a hearse. Mm. And in the back is my Mark 1 PS3. But stepping out the left-hand side door is Ray.
Deep breath. Deep breath.
And I'm seeing him as a chihuahua in hot pants, cowboy boots, a straw hat, and he looks like someone smeared Marmite on his top lip because he doesn't know what to do with his tongue or his face. He's got a check shirt on, and
Wayne Way
is appearing to me as the gun in Chihuahua Ray's holster.
Wow. That is somewhat poignant. But slightly disturbing.
How are you seeing the Ray?
He's all Clive that. He's just like Clive from Final Fantasy 16. Unfortunately, I think the budget ran out because he's in Crocs. The Crocs have made a return. But for some reason, Wayne is dressed as a OG PS3 with sort of a little puff of smoke coming out of his head. Oh, hang on, Ray's just chopped him in half. Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's ended the PS3. Oh, dear. So Wayne's in half, sort of delicately smouldering, just with a little yellow light delicately just flickering out. like the Terminator eye as he disappears. Yeah. And he's gone. Yeah. Yeah. Sad times.
Well, don't, whatever you do, don't pull the first one out of the boot, because whoever organised this show didn't get the proper write-up, because it wasn't where he normally goes for his write-up, so you might as well have deleted it, but he left it in because he's a dum-dum. So, Ray, I don't want that dodgy copy of the synapse of the PSVR2. What I do want is Altarium Shift on the PC, July 6th, embark on a journey through the living world of Altaria and experience its dynamic quests, unique turn-based combat, and choice-driven storylines. With three branching narratives, I've got my teeth in now, and unforgettable characters, Altarium Shift is a retro-inspired JRPG that offers a new adventure with every playthrough.
It's interesting. Next is...
That's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to show interest.
Nice work.
I take it it's pronounced guilt, is it?
Let me tell you one thing, friend. You pronounce it however the hell you want. And the developer will adopt your pronunciation of that for the game. It's the influence we hold here.
I'm sure he's listening to this. Guilt, PC, PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, and the X-Bone. July 6th. Shape your fears. Fear the shapes. Different. Embark on a journey where you face your worst fears and are confronted with the emotional impact of your actions in this narrative adventure game with puzzles, stealth, and action. Don't play this, George, because that's going to have PS3 in the dark trying to come after you and murder you.
Don't do that. Do you know what my mummy is? And I implore everyone to go check this out. It's actually a fascinating concept. It's New Heights on the PC July 6th. It's not VR. Let me just tell you this now. It's not VR. Experience free solo climbing and bouldering like never before. Go above and beyond on real cliffs and structures. Improve your skills. Travel the world and compete against your friends from the safety of your computer. Now, it's a rock climbing game across multiple surfaces, rocks, castles, whatever. And you control each individual limb. So you kind of... like you get yourself positioned and then you select
like
right
Octo
hand
Dad.
And you have to try and find a grapple point that you can move to, lock that on, and this it flashes up with like different areas you can grab and hold on to and pull up with, and then you have to do the feet push up and keep going like that, and you have to find different ways to navigate the rock face, and there's like multiple millions of different ways up the same cliff. Yeah, because when I first saw it, I thought, no, this is going to be awful. And then I saw the gameplay and I was like, that's actually fair play and respect.
Yeah, it gives you that sort of loop of trying to improve the skills and the control scheme.
Yeah, it looks
so you can
a little
keep
bit
trying to get better and
it's hard
better
to describe. It's a little bit puzzly. It's a little bit sort of, obviously, it's a sports game. But yeah, just I was quite fascinated by the whole concept and experience. So yeah, it's my mummy.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, eh? Next up, we've got The Legend of Heroes, Trails into the Revere. Is it Revere? Reverie?
Trails into Reverie.
Reverie. There we go, even better. PC, PS5, PS4, Switch.
That was actually the name of, during the sort of 92 to 94 era, there was a reverend in the village who was a DJ as well, and he called himself Reverie.
Ooh, very street and down with it. July 7th, your favourite explorer, Tad Stones, is back. I'm reading the wrong one, aren't I?
It's okay, you read what you want to read.
We'll start again. Three different legends are about to unfold, determine the fates of Reen Swartz, Lloyd Banning, and a mysterious sea. In this climactic chapter of the Legend of Heroes series, make of that what you will.
I guess from your excitement, this is your mummy.
I want to know who Mysterious C is.
Don't ask. It's Ray.
I want to know. What does that
Tad
C
the Lost Explorer
for?
On Switch, July 7th. Your favourite explorer, Tad Stones.
That's the one.
Your favourite explorer, Tad Stones, is back. Embark with Tad and his friends on a new journey through different cities where you will encounter challenging puzzles in your quest to get the Emerald Tablet.
Red Lot of Pro.
What's your VHS video pick?
I am going to go for the VHS copy of Jerry Maguire, I think.
I've got that.
Show me the money.
What am I going for? I'm going for a cartoon series called Starcom. Came accompanied with a toy that had magnets and clockwork features in it, and when combined together, it would move like it had batteries, but the gig was it didn't. Absolutely cracking. And the cartoon
that's interested me, yeah.
In half bad.
What's it called?
Starcom. The Optimus Prime of that was something called the Starcom StarMax Bomber. And it looked, the gig with it was it all looked like real NASA equipment. They did work with NASA. It was meant to be a sales aid. for a recruitment drive for NASA, but then they kind of lost NASA's involvement a little bit because I think space died a bit of a damp squib in the 80s when the reality became that we weren't going to be living on the moon or having zero-G sex.
That twings a little bit of nostalgia for me.
And the StarMax bomber had looked like a futuristic version of the space shuttle, but it still had the cues, the black underneath, had a loading area where you could put these different cargo pods in, had a little thing that would drop bombs from the back of it. You had like a co-pilot, and the little pilots had these little magnets in their feet so they could attach zero-G style as you turn the ship upside down or the bases, and they would hold in these positions, which was absolutely wonderful.
I remember that. Oh,
StarCom.
Wow. eBay.
You better sell your wife into slavery.
Well, if I get a space shuttle where I can put the little magnetized men on,
fair trade.
Yeah.
I reckon you could probably get a StarMax bomber for between 30 and 40 quid. I think if you wanted one that was all the bits on it, you might be knocking on the door of 60. I might be wrong. Maybe the whole StarCom market's collapsed, but it was starting to edge up there a little bit last time I saw. I think you'll be able to get like a damaged StarCom, maybe 20 quid. But if you want, there's all lots of different ones. There's like the Star Wolf, and then there was these bad guys as well. I think they were called Manta, but no.
God, yeah, I remember those.
They had a ship called the Shadow Bat. It was their answer to the StarMax bomber. Someone who knows about StarCom messaged back to me. I've got a few of the toys. I've often watched the cartoon. Quite enjoy it. Where's Ray gone? I look down, and all I see is some burnt solder.
Well, it's got a dimly lit little yellow light, just pulsing slower.
Don't, because that's
it's gone.
I thought, what harm can it do to turn it off? Because I always have them on normally, but since this energy crisis, tried to do the right thing and save myself 0.00004p a year, probably. And that normally means the consoles last forever, but this time the console's dead. So I'm hoping power supply, but I'm also thinking whether I would just retire the old girl.
Try power supply, and then if not, retire. Put it on a shelf. Salute to her every
day. Oh my God, the circuit board was made of camphor wood. Burn all your games. Burn all of them.
Burn them all.
Okay, bit of a deep cut there for the fans of the Red Dwarf.
Yeah,
RGT. Those that know the format of the show know that the only thing left to do is for me to ask you what you're hoping to play. What are you hoping to play this gaming week, friend?
Obviously, be more Tears of the Kingdom. Try and get a few more hours done on that. So
yes,
I'm so into that now. That's sort of my main game at the moment. Probably Forza Horizon 5.
Right. Things you never thought that would happen. I'm going away for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
BTW. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether we could show or no show. You might need to step in and do a little bit of something.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Discord, Finchy, the artist of the show, said he was selling a Switch. Ended up being what I would call a very generous price.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got that winging its way to me. Now, question. Do I just use it for the SNES, NES, and N64 Game Boy Color? Do I go fully embrace my actual youth? There's me, backwards cap on, dungarees, one shoulder down, walking around with his ASCII Game Boy travel case, playing his Play It Loud Game Boy. Do I go full retro? And just, I've been wondering about this for a while. My Nintendo history is deep and strong, but I always try and bury it because it's like, that's the Disney. It's Disney games. It's like little kiddie games. It's, you know, even when I had a SNES, I looked at the Mega Drive, it had big boy games. SNES was like, no blood. Nothing dangerous. It was a little bit safe. But it's a great moment for me. It's
35 quid
for
the online service for a year.
Yes.
You'll get the SNES games, NES, Mega Drive, N64, Game Boy Advance, and Game Boy Color, I believe.
Do they download to the console, or do we need to be online all the time to play them?
No, you can. They don't download to the console. You download the app to play the games, I believe, and you can play them offline, but I think you can only play them for a certain amount of time, I believe. It is timed. It's a funny system. But I would definitely do it to play those games, but also don't forget there is quite a vast Switch library of games that you would probably...
That does my nut in. I just want to be able to sit in a hotel room miles away from Farmington Manor playing Donkey Kong Country.
You'll be on free Wi-Fi anyway, so you'll be fine.
I don't know when was the last time you stayed in a hotel. They say free Wi-Fi, you get about 20 minutes, and then the walls come up, and the speeds. I've seen snails with packets of data reach the end of the Farmington Drive quicker than it takes for a hotel Wi-Fi to actually deliver Donkey Kong's face.
As long as the apps are on there, the NES, Mega Drive, N64, SNES apps are on there, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Promise?
Pinky promise.
Give me some Switch cleaning and maintenance tips. What have you found works best for the longevity and prolonging of your console's life?
I just keep the screen really clean. And I also just make sure that your vents on the top are always clear and clean. As far as going into the system, you don't need to, because they're so slim. They don't need, you know, as far as fans in there, as very little to do within, you know, cooling and stuff. But just, you know, make sure you look after the screen as well. Make sure you don't lay that face down. Get yourself a nice case to put it in. I've got a hard shell case for my OLED, which I pop in, takes 30 games in there as well, and all your leads and plugs, and I just take the whole lot with me like that. But I don't know if you saw my picture.
Do you think me buying this, and I recommend everyone get on the Discord because there's a chance for you to get wondrous amounts of things on there, good prices, everyone supports everyone, you know, everyone does the good deals. It's a swapsy, or if you want to buy, it's always a great deal. Mm. So if you're thinking, there's another reason for the Discord. Do you think because I bought this, the PS3, which is linked to the Vita, just sort of went, maybe the Vita's dead, and as it lashed out, it killed the PS3 because of this Switch coming in?
Might well be. What I said, is that where we're going, is it? Every time you buy another handheld, there's going to be another death in this family.
Dead man as well.
Your Vita's just sitting on the shelf, gently rocking. Oh, yeah, he's got another one. He's got another one, yeah.
He's going to come in to the game room like, no, I love you, I really do. No, you don't. I don't jump, please. Should have bought the screen protector. Should have bought the hard shell case. Proprietary memory card shooting out everywhere. Like, God, he's that.
but also I would recommend... it depends. I've got quite big hands, so playing on the Switch prolonged in handheld is quite painful, I find. So
you know what to say about big hands, don't you?
Yeah, it's not true, definitely not.
What, don't make things look small?
Oh, yeah. you can get a little stand. Horry do a little stand for a tenner. You can put the screen on, take your standard controller with you. You can sit and just use it as a...
Hang on, what's this... This stand that Horry make, is it whittled from unicorn ivory, or is it just a piece of plastic?
It's plastic.
Better get the official plastic stand. Get the Horry one. Yeah,
it folds really flat. It's quite nice, and then you can, and it holds any Switch on there, and then you can just use a controller, use it as a little screen, which I find a lot more comfortable than having my hands cramped up. Like, by the time I finish playing my OLED for over an hour, I've got claws like a crab. So I prefer to use a controller. Rose Spacebug, he's done the same on his holiday. He's got the little stand as well.
I see you little strange Switch players doing all these different stands. I think I might just bloody elastic band it to my face.
Join us. Be one of us.
Now's our chance. Yeah.
You've got a Switch now.
Move to the trees.
So yeah, but yeah, I would because you haven't played Breath of the Wild, have you?
No, I've had a dabble with it on Wii U.
Yeah, but that's your homework, more your way.
It's not for me.
That's my turn to set homework, just doing it. Get it on it.
Well, I've got to go buy it first, you crazy.
You borrow it off me. You borrow it off me. I'll send it to you.
No, I don't want to borrow because with borrow comes responsibility. And if I end up biting it in frustration,
you won't,
and then cause... sticking it out because it's covered in that anti-eating.
Yeah, that's got the anti-eating going on. Damn you, breath and all.
Barn at me sick, holding what's left of my hair out of my face. Probably my eyebrows out of my eyes. The only hair I've got left on my body. While I violently spew.
I told you I did not prefer the world, RGT.
Hold my eye. Hold my eyebrow out my eye. Who am I? What have I become? I'm old. I feel so out of touch.
Yeah, I've got plenty of games. You can borrow some of those.
I've got friends. Okay, so I don't know where I went with this. I really don't know.
I'm going to be playing more Tears of the Kingdom. Definitely more Forza Horizon 5. I've sort of been dabbling between those two at the moment.
I am most fascinated with your Series X journey. Does that mean you've got Games Pass?
No.
It means you bought a physical copy of...
Now, I got Forza Horizon 5 with the system as a download, as part of the package.
Was it new?
Brand new, yeah. Yeah.
I've been doing this gig, you know, fair play to you, mate, you know.
The reason is it was on sale and it was a good deal and I thought I'm going to buy it now because they're obviously putting the price of the Series X up. So I thought, well, I'll grab one now while it's cheaper and on sale. That'll save me more money in the long run, so I thought I'll get it now. But I'll tell you what, I know I'm going to sound like a dinosaur, and I apologise to all the younger gamers. I've been trying to buy physical copies of games for the Series X, and it's quite hard to get them.
Mate, it's impossible. James, the work experience boy, were trying to put together what I would call a Series X library. Because he's had one for some time and he, much like me, he wants to have a selection of games on the shelf. It's damned impossible.
I went in CX and they had, this was in down in Cornwall, and they had six Series X games. Six.
Now, I know this sounds stupid and people are going to message in and saying, oh, George, you're just saying that Microsoft and you're just saying that dinosaur and you're just saying that no one collects games or has physical media anymore, but... In terms of penetration of the marketplace and actually having something on the shelf that people can recognize and tie into your console and therefore go build up some desire to buy it, own it, touch it, feel it, smell it. I can imagine this is like back in the day with the Atari ST. You send your mum in to get a video game for you and she comes back and says there wasn't any for the Atari ST. There was loads for the Amiga, but we did find this. Pulls out a copy, I don't know. Pang. On a budget release for the ST, it's like, is that it? Like, yeah, that's all we could get. And like the, you know, and for that reason, the ST died. This is an exaggeration to say that the Series X has died. It's certainly not. It's done very well for itself. No, don't get me wrong. But my point is, could it be doing better if it had a great big section, Series X, and green lights flashing in Smith's toys? You walk in, you're like, oh my God. And then, you know, you look through the games, you browse, you feel your desire. You know, you're not on the store, but you've gone out, you want a little bit of something. You see Forza Horizon, you see Halo Infinite, you see all this stuff. Instead of it being Xbox One with Series X compatibility, because that's the rub here, isn't it? There's loads of Xbox One stuff out there. Even the latest, biggest games, Xbox One on the top of the case. Obviously, Uncle Bill's trying to spread his money around because he spent too much on Bethesda. He's like... No, just use the same case, but put compatible. When you put compatible on something, it makes it look like it kind of works, but it doesn't. It makes you feel like you're getting the mugged off poo-poo version. How am I wrong, or is that your experience?
No, it was, I'm not either way. I've got all three consoles, so I'm not backing one in a corner. I'm not a fanboy, anything like that. I want the best of everything. But it is very hard to buy, you know, Series X games. You know, I know obviously your Series S is digital only, but, you know, I do like my physical copies. And yes, I can go on the store and download a game. But I'd like to have a few words, especially when you're out shopping, you think, oh, to see what they got on the Series X. But it's
I'll tell you one thing, very limited. What I will report on this, PlayStation Premium over the last 3 months has ruined my relationship with games. Absolute 100% fact.
I haven't got Premium anymore.
I don't give games their due anymore. They feel almost disposable to me.
Yeah,
so like with Final Fantasy, even though I bought that retail, my mind has been conditioned in a short space of time. I'm not feeling it. Back in the day, I'd have pushed on and on and on and on until I found a thread I could grab on. Mm. Now it's like, what else have got on Premium? Oh, yeah, I'll go that, give that, go for 5 minutes. Done. It's crap. Give me something else. 5 minutes. Done. I waste my time just messing around, downloading things, streaming it so I don't need to download it so I need to find out if it's going to grab me or not. And surprisingly, because you're not willing to commit, nothing grabs you.
Yeah.
And I got a deal where I got Premium. It stacked up and somehow I managed to unlock on the store and I got like a deal that sees me through to 2026. And I'm thinking, can I cancel this and get my money back? Because I just want to go back to a time where I bought a game, sat down, enjoyed, played, finished a game, took it out, deleted it, put a new one in. And now I'm in this thing where I'm like, oh, I'll download that for 10 minutes. No, download. What?
I'm with you on that. I
hate myself.
I had PS Now and obviously the PS Plus. And I had it for a few years. So they automatically wound me up to the Premium, which I had for a year. That ran out and I've just gone to Extra. Because I didn't use it. There was so many big titles in there I've always wanted to play, but I was just, you just get lost in the chaff of games that are on there. There's so many, and you sort of think, oh, I might try that. You download something, you play it.
Oh, no.
Usable sort of thing, you know.
We lost you for a moment there. I'm really sorry. I don't know where I got picked up in the recording, but...
Sorry. No, I was just saying, I just get lost with all the amount of titles on there. You download one, you don't think nothing of it. You play 5 minutes, you delete, you move on, and you just get lost.
And how many films, series, and movies grab you in the first 5 minutes? They don't, do they?
No. You know, and I'm the same with Netflix. I'll sit there and flick through Netflix for half an hour, try and look for something to watch, and then I don't watch anything.
It comes back to this thing again, doesn't it? It's that curation thing. I've often whinged and moaned for, like, give me a compelling reason to play it. Give me a hint of the history. I know on PS5 you can go in there and there's like a, you know, top picks, and it's like, oh, we think you'd like these because. Well, that's not the curation I'm looking for.
No, the curation on PlayStation Premium is shockingly bad.
It is.
Terrible. It really is poor. You cannot...
The curation's good in the store where you can buy stuff.
Yeah, but on Premium, my God, that is awful. And there's so many sub-menus to go through to try and find... You try and find just PSP games, but you can't. You have to go into remasters, and then remasters has got the PS3 stream and only game. You know, it's so many sub-menus. You can't find... And then by the time you think, right, I'll just go through the whole menu and see what I can find, you either miss stuff or you've got to go through 800 games to find something, you get bored and don't bother. So, it's not good. It's not good like that, I'm afraid.
It's what we all wanted, but it's actually what none of us need.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
So, well, what about you? What are you hoping to play?
Tomb Raider Anniversary on the PSP.
In the garden, crying.
Because I can't see the screen.
Yeah, because the sun's in your eye. Oh dear.
Set the PS3 on the outside, set up on the outside table, sit it opposite me with a glass of wine, candle, citronella candle, so we don't get any mozzies in us. And then just sort of look into each other's eyes, really. Other than that, I will actually try and persevere with some Final Fantasy 16. I don't know why, but I've had this strange urge to play PS2, so I might dust off Anniversary for whatever reason I have for that.
Oh, did you finish Jedi Survivor?
I've still got that to do. I'm on that like certain thing that I've been stuck on for some while. I don't want to spoil it for people, but I don't know what it is about that game. Like, the more I played it, the less interested in it I was. Now, whether that's a premium curse again, where it's like, you know, I've put probably 50 hours into that game and I've reached the point at the end and I'm just not that interested. I know it's a shame, but now I don't know whether it's because, I found that game when it was, it already had its big fanfare, everyone had played it, and I just enjoyed it as a solo experience to myself. Is it that? Is it the fact that, like, now it feels everyone's been playing it and therefore it's not special to me anymore? I don't think so. I think the story was weak compared to the first game. I think that the direction that they've taken for the central area on Kobo, was it Kobo? I think it was. Yeah, was not the way I wanted it to go. I wanted more planet hopping. I wanted a bit more daring do. I definitely wanted more Imperial interactions than we got in that game, which was minimal. And I want it to feel like a game that precedes New Hope, not one that precedes Phantom Menace, you know. So I don't know. I'll see. You know, some of the big pops in it I felt were a bit signposted, a bit wasted, and I kind of was sort of generally a bit dismayed by that. But I might have another go on that today and see if I can get, because I'm literally 30 minutes from the end, if that, I should imagine. So I probably ought to just get it ground out and done. But it is a little bit frustrating, to be honest. As I said, they do a little bit of a switcheroo on you and it's like, oh, really? I don't really want to be this person, but okay.
I sort of fell away with that game quite early on, and I keep saying I've got to go back to it, but I just got no enthusiasm to go back.
The gameplay elements of it, you know, as I've said on here before and I've said to you off air, you know, the actual jumping around and controlling of Cal, my biggest fear was that they'd make that slick. They didn't. Brilliant. Great. He controls like Cal. Great. But the stuff around that, they've changed a lot. And I don't know if I'm that keen on it. Was the first one a flawed game? Yeah. If they brought it out today, would it get hammered? Probably. But I don't want this.
No.
I want to be on the ship. I don't want to be planting a garden, to be honest with you. Unless it's in the ship. That was nice. I think they looked at that and went, oh, people enjoyed making a garden. No, there were 9 seeds to collect, guys, in the ship that you could look at as decoration. It wasn't that I was into gardening. I didn't ask for Stardew Star Wars.
It's very bolt on there, I'm afraid.
And with that note, I think we should call it a day. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for this week, listeners. As always, thank you for your time. I look forward to the pleasure of speaking to you again next week. Until then, happy gaming. Remember, there's nothing wrong with being given the unofficial controller. It's what you do with it that counts. See you, RGT.
See you, George.